This episode is brought to you by Sprout Living. One of our favorite new snacks are Sprout Living's probiotic almonds. Wildly delicious and irresistibly crunchy, these are the perfect gut-healthy balanced snack. Each pack of the sprouted and activated organic almonds contain 10 billion CFUs of probiotics, 6 grams of clean plant protein, and a variety of other superfood spices and herbs that do the body good.
They're made without seed oils, which we all know are out, and the flavors. The Italian truffle is delicious, and the dairy-free cheddar cheese made with turmeric and nutritional yeast always hits the spot. Honestly, we may never have another chip again. Sprout Living also makes our favorite plant-based protein blends. My personal favorite is the coffee flavor.
If you want to try Sprout Living, you can save 20% off your entire order by using code COURAGEOUS at checkout. Visit www.sproutliving.com and use code COURAGEOUS to save 20%. Give them a try and let us know if you love them as much as we do. You can also find the direct links in our show notes. Courageous Wellness. My name is Erica Stein.
And I'm Allie French. And this is a podcast about individual journeys within wellness and how to navigate it all.
After Allie experienced a cancer diagnosis in her 20s,
and Erica went through a self-love journey, we created a platform to interview real people from all walks of life that have combined all types of practices. From physical wellness to emotional and spiritual, we hear courageous stories and focus on why it's important to share them.
We are both certified integrative nutrition health coaches, and together with our community, are learning to live our most purposeful lives by sharing one courageous story at a time.
It takes courage to share these journeys, and by talking about them, we aim to destigmatize the process. We want you to be your own health advocate, feel educated and informed on the latest in health and wellness, and empower you to feel your absolute best.
And because we want to bring forth a wide variety of stories, the opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect our own, but we hope the diverse and varied stories will empower you to make the best choices for your own life. So join us as we and our community share our courageous wellness.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Courageous Wellness. Erica and I are doing a little solo episode, and it's a get to know us episode because we've been at this for a really long time and we realize we have a lot of newer listeners, and maybe you guys don't really know much about how we joined forces and started the show and why we started the show and a little bit about our own sort of personal journeys and our personal health journeys. So we're going to get into that, but we're going to start with a little icebreaker because I just discovered something that I feel like every millennial should know. Or if you're like old Gen X or no, sorry, young Gen X, old Gen Z, any millennial adjacent should know. Friends, do you remember the song Mbop from Hanson?
Yes. Well,
I just learned that there are lyrics to it. And I shared with Erica, I was like, have you ever listened to the lyrics? She's like, no, you know, it's just like everybody just knows the Mbop part. And it's like actually a way deeper song than I ever knew.
It's kind of a depressing song, to be completely honest.
Okay.
Well, it's a lot deeper. I mean, I'd say depressing because I just remember listening to that song as a child and the lyrics are so deep and kind of sad in your feels in a pop song.
It's so funny. And it's so funny that like they were kids like singing this. So it talks about like you have so many relationships in this life. Only one or two will last. You go through all this pain and strife and then you turn your back and they're gone so fast. So hold on to the ones who really care. In the end, they'll be the only ones there. When you get old and start losing your hair, can you tell me who will still care? Mbop.
Yeah.
Mbop. Into the chorus. And then it goes on to like planting seeds. You're not going to know which ones grow. It's a secret nobody knows. Mbop. And then it goes into like, oh, they're gone in an mbop. That's what mbop means. They're gone. It's like gone in a split second.
I'll never listen to the song again the same. Like, I just thought it was this happy, little pop song, and it is not. So Allie bursted my bubble today, and I just needed everybody else's
bubble to
be burst with me.
We needed to start with this icebreaker that has nothing to do with Courageous Wellness, but
yeah,
this is what life is like offline for us.
Yes, that's true.
So that being said, Erica, would you like to share first a little bit about, I think we should share a little bit about our relationship with ourselves and in the context of like our health and wellness journeys, what they've been like and what they continue to be like in in the current state, current season.
Yes, I can go first. So hi, everyone. I'm Erica, 35 years old. From Los Angeles, California, born and raised. So my wellness journey, you know, and where it is now is actually really interesting, because I think when we introduced ourselves for the first time on the podcast, we really just started the show. And, you know, there has been such an evolution in the last, gosh,
five, six
years since we've started, which is incredible. 300 episodes. All of that. So a little bit about me. As I mentioned, I grew up in Los Angeles, California. I grew up in a beach community in Malibu, and things were great. Things were jolly. But when I was, you know, about 8, 9 years old, my parents started going through some serious hardships, and we became food insecure by the time I was 11 years old. And it's relevant because it really created a lot of food habits for myself. So we were food insecure probably from 11 to 13, I want to say. You know, my family really struggled from like 8 to 14, but I would say 11 to 13 was the meat and potatoes of the journey. And so, you know, my mom was working two jobs, and she could only afford and only had the time to really feed us things that were fast, quick, and cheap. So a lot of times that was dollar menu fast food items, because quick, fast, cheap, easy for your two kids. And so those really started establishing food habits for me early on. I also grew up in a culturally Jewish family, even though my family practiced Buddhism. So, you know, culturally in our family, food is, you know, you just were always fed, you know, fed in abundance. Food was also enjoyed for joy, and food was also enjoyed in times of sadness. So we were just always eating. And during that time period, especially, not eating the most nutritious foods. So I'm going to fast forward to post college. And I was working in the entertainment industry, and I was working on a couple of television shows. And I started really, or I was like, I don't think I was working at the TV shows yet. No, sorry. I haven't told my journey in a long time. So everyone go on this journey with me. But it was post college, and I was looking for jobs. I was dating, you know, seriously for the first time, or trying to date seriously for the first time. And I kept blaming what wasn't working for me on my body. If I looked different, I would have a better job. If I looked different, I would have more dates. If I looked different, I would be in a happy, healthy, committed relationship, right? And it's so funny to think lovingly back at that young girl, because I just want to give her like this big hug. And I want to give a big hug to anyone who might feel that way right now in their own skin, because that is just not the truth. But this was around 2011. And so this was way before. There was no Instagram, wasn't what it was. There was no TikTok. Like, social media really didn't exist. Instagram was like an analog picture of your breakfast. You know, there was no stories. And I say that because, you know, I wonder how different the experience would be now with so much body positivity, healthy at every size, even body neutrality, right? Just so much messaging is out there now that we are so much more than our bodies. However, I know women of all ages still struggle with this. So I was blaming my body for what wasn't working out in my life. And my kind of, you know, dark night of the soul moment, or when everything really changed for me, was I had gone on a date with a guy and I liked him, but he didn't call me back. And I was certain that he would have called me back if I was prettier, thinner, whatever you want to call it. And in that moment, I called somebody from our Buddhist community who I really didn't know at all. And she told me, and she had such compassion for my life to say this, but as I'm saying all of these things to her, I'm saying it's because I'm not enough. Essentially, I'm not enough. I'm not, you know, blaming everything on the external for why this guy didn't call me. And she just said to me, she goes, "Erica, you do not value your life." Like, just straight to the point, right? She goes, "Erica, you do not value your life." And it really floored me because it was the truth. I did not value my life. She goes, "You do not value your life. And you need to," essentially, she encouraged me to go chant, which is what we do in our Buddhist practice. She encouraged me to go chant to see myself as a treasure. And so I'm going to link, because I actually shared my full experience with the Buddhist part of this journey on the Buddhability podcast. So if you want to hear like the full Buddhist journey of my journey, I'll link that in the show notes. But essentially, she encouraged me to go chant to treasure my life. And so I went home. I wrote on a hot pink sticky note, "You are a treasure. You are a precious gem." And I started chanting that way every single day, right? Nothing in my life externally was different. I was just committed every day to chanting that my life was a treasure, that I was a precious gem, that I was a Buddha, right? Every single day, twice a day. And it's unbelievable because very, very quickly in my largest body, I would say probably within like 3 to 6 months, I had a job on a very popular television show. I had multiple job offers too on multiple television shows before I accepted that one. I met the man who is now my amazing husband, Jeff. You know, he was my boyfriend, but I met him and we fell in love so fast. It was like this beautiful whirlwind romance that I have never really gone into because we're not a relationship podcast, but it was just this beautiful, like, romantic moment in my largest body, right? And my entire life changed just from really learning to value and treasure and love myself. And that was in 2012. And it wasn't until, I would say, 2014 that I started, you know, I discovered an exercise class that I really, really loved. And I started going maybe 3 days a week. I didn't consciously change the way I ate, but I was moving my body more. I was, you know, treasuring and loving myself in my largest body. And I subsequently lost a substantial amount of weight, about 50 pounds. And that led into a whole different realm of, I had some gut issues. I had body dysmorphia because it wasn't an intentional weight loss. So I was navigating, you know, all of the complexities that come with weight loss. And so I dealt with body dysmorphia. I dealt with gut health issues. And I started really exploring nutrition as a way to deal with both of those things. And so I can pause here before I go to where I am now, because there's such a new evolution, especially post-pandemic, even with my own relationship with my body. But this is kind of where Allie and I intersected, because it was during this time of, you know, nutrition exploration, dealing with my body dysmorphia, wanting to understand the way foods fueled my body and made me feel, because again, I was dealing with such serious gut issues. I was diagnosed with GERD. That's when Allie and I intersect. So I think that's a good time to pass it over to you to share your part of the journey.
Yes. So let's go back. Erica and I met, I was introduced, I was full-time. Let's first start with, I was a full-time musical theater performer. I was doing shows kind of all over. And I was introduced after doing a show in New York, a workshop of a new musical there one summer, through a cast member who also lived in LA. When we were back in LA, I was introduced to the practice of Nichiren Buddhism, which now Erica and I both practice. But I was invited to go to a community meeting. And I, to be honest, it's so funny 10 years later, because I'm a very kind of dedicated practitioner, but I wasn't really interested in going. But something in me said yes. And I decided to go, and I even like bribed a friend to come with me. And believe it or not, Erica was, because she had been like a longtime practitioner, her whole, you know, her family practice was a guest leader and a youth leader. And we don't have monks or temples or priests. We are all like sort of voluntary and non-hierarchical leadership in our community, in our lay Buddhist organization. So anyway, Erica was the guest leader at my first meeting ever. And I was like, wow, this girl is like so happy and so vivacious and chipper. And I was like a little bit jaded, but I think some of that has broken through since I've been practicing Buddhism for a decade.
Allie is from New York. Just in case, I'm sure most of our listeners know that, but just in case this is your first time.
I grew up in New Jersey and New York City, so I definitely had a little bit of a jaded New Yorker attitude towards it all. I was like, what's this girl on? But because she like said had such a high life condition. But anyway, it stuck with me and I continued practicing and formed my own practice. So we knew each other socially through our Buddhist community, but, you know, weren't personally close friends. And one of the things that kind of came out of, you know, right after I started practicing was that I actually had a rare sort of health strange situation. And I was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And it was a tumor in my back that was growing like from the skin level down into my fascia. And fortunately, I caught it early enough that it hadn't penetrated my muscle layer. But I was 29 at the time. And it definitely came as a shock, because I had been someone who had always sort of tried to care for my body because I was a performer and, you know, I had to use it as an instrument. I was always interested in nutrition, experimenting with different ways of eating to feel a certain way. I had been vegetarian for 4 years or something like that. Anyway, long story short, I get this diagnosis. Fortunately, we catch it early, but I still had to do 3 different sets of surgeries in order to make sure my cell margins were clear and that the cancer had been removed. I definitely feel protected in the journey. I caught it before any additional treatment was needed. So even though I found myself healing from these surgeries and being out of work for a little while because of it, I didn't have to do chemo or radiation. So I felt very grateful for that. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained or bursting with energy? Is this from not enough boundaries or coming off a less social winter? It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, or dealing with feelings of burnout. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Therapy has been so impactful for me. I've been in therapy for years, and it's such an important part of my toolkit. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself and is truly for everyone. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/CWPod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/CWPod.
But here I am, healing from my 3rd surgery, and I'm starting to crave certain foods in a new way, like really crave, like my body is screaming at me. And I hadn't had meat in 4 years at this point. And I was just like, it is kind of funny now that I tell this story, but it was like screaming steak, 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 like literally. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't eat steak. But I just knew that that's what I needed when I was healing. So I went, and I had always been experimental and tried to be open-minded about it all. And I remember literally like going to a butcher with like big sunglasses on. Like, they're going to know this vegetarian is going to be buying meat. So it's like, it could go one of two ways. I could be really sick, or this could be exactly what my body needs right now. And I got a well-sourced piece of meat. I cooked it up for myself and I felt amazing. And so I tell this story because it was really another step in my journey while I was healing with the power of food and the power of nutrition and the power of my intuition in my body's sort of in my body's innate knowledge on what it needed. And this was not the first time I had had this kind of experience. I had had terrible cystic acne in my early 20s and removed dairy after kind of a long process with trying different things, and it immediately cleared up. I had, like I said, experimented with different things, and my energy had really gone down when I had chosen to do almost a vegan lifestyle. So that wasn't really working for me, is what I found out for me and my bioindividuality. And now, while healing from surgery with 16 staples in my back, I needed a new level of like protein. So just reiterated that I have innate knowledge and my body is wise in that way, mm-hmm. and to learn to listen to it. And that, sorry, I missed a little part of my journey, but when I originally asked for the spot on my back to be checked out, I had a doctor tell me that it was nothing and to ignore it. And I didn't listen to that. I kept on with it. And my general practitioner, she listened to me and she kept an eye on it and wound up sending me for a referral, which is how I actually got my diagnosis. So if it wasn't if it wasn't for listening and teaching myself to listen to that part of my intuition, I would have had a very different experience with this kind of health crisis that I was in. Anyway, so this is a long story, but I wind up going on a contract to Japan and I'm there for a year and a half. And in this time, it's very physically demanding contract in musical theater. I continue this nutrition exploration. And that's what brings me to reconnecting with Erica while she was also in that part of her journey. And she DM'd me because we were reading the same nutrition book, which I will give a shout out to Kelly Levesque. It was her first book, Body Love.
Yeah, I think you posted in your stories, like it was when the Fab Four smoothies were so popular. I think they were even called like the Be Well by Kelly smoothies. It was called something else, but Allie posted the smoothie she was drinking. And I was like, I'm drinking those smoothies too. And so, yes, I slid into her DMs. And, you know, it's so interesting because I know we get a lot of questions about female friendships, adult friendships, and this kind of intersects there because, yes, it ultimately leads to us becoming business partners and starting a company, but it could have just led us to becoming friends or deeper friends, right? So we start DMing when Allie is in Japan about nutrition. She comes back from Japan and I was actually offered free passes to the spin class I was taking all the time. But it was in the middle of the day on like a Wednesday or something. Like it literally was at like 11:30 in the morning on a Wednesday. And so I have a very extroverted personality, but I am an introvert. If you're into human design, I'm a 2-5. The 2 is the hermit. I like to be alone and it's a little out of my comfort zone because Allie and I, like I knew her, we were talking, but we weren't close. And so I kind of texted my usual suspects of who could go to this class with me. And I also included Allie, but I was hoping it would at least be like me, Allie, and somebody else, right? Like a buffer person. And unfortunately or fortunately, Allie was the only one who could make it. And we went to the spin class and afterwards we came back to my apartment and we just started talking about the last, you know, year and a half plus of our lives because she had been in Japan. And yes, I had known that she had had cancer, but I didn't know the intricacies of the emotional components of what that cancer and recovery had been like. I didn't know anything that she had just shared right now. And she met me after I lost most of my weight. So she didn't know about, you know, my background. She didn't know the self-love journey that I had really gone through. She didn't know that that's what led me to this nutrition exploration. And it was really in that conversation at that apartment that we decided to start a podcast, because we realized we have these stories, and we just in one conversation with each other gained so much from hearing the emotional components of each of our journeys that we realized other people have stories too. And how empowering would it be to share them and help empower other people to share their own journeys? And so that is when Courageous Wellness was born. I think that was in May of 2018. And we launched our first episode in the end of June 2018. So pretty quickly. And
yeah,
that's how it all started.
Remarkable, you guys. Like, Erica and I did not know what we were doing. We didn't have podcast experience. And we didn't even know like how to make it good. And it wasn't even about that in the beginning. And I'm actually really like proud of putting out bad episodes. Like, do you know what I mean though? Because there weren't other areas in my life where I've really taken like leaps that didn't feel more calculated. Like this was just like, let's just do it. Let's just do it and figure it out as we go. And I have to say, I'm so glad we did. And we now have a company, and we both went back to school for integrative nutrition and advanced coursework in gut health and hormone health. And so our journeys have evolved also, and our education has evolved, and our show has obviously evolved. And now we're part of this wonderful Cloud 10 network, and we've interviewed amazing experts in all sorts of sort of fields and our own definition and understanding, and like the intersectionality of wellness ideas have definitely evolved and developed. I've learned so much and expanded so much since starting. But had we not started, like, what we have now just wouldn't exist. So,
And it's so wild because, too, you know, I think I told you this maybe a while ago, but, you know, I journal. And so I had read through some of my old journals around that time before, like early 2018. And I was like, I want to work in nutrition. You know, like I had felt a podcast in my heart. Like these were things, and it was just, I don't know, it was like this perfect timing of courage and rhythm and the moment, right? Like it was all, it just, you know, and like you said, now we've gone back to school. We have this company. We've evolved. You know, we've released 300 plus episodes. And yeah. And I think, you know, even just with myself, because obviously I call my journey a self-love journey first and foremost, because that's what it was and that's what it is. And yes, there's a weight loss component to it. But I just want to say that where I'm at 5-6 years later, you know, we've lived through a pandemic. I've talked a little bit on the podcast, but on my husband's side of the family and on my side of the family with both of our parents, we've dealt with really serious health conditions and health issues. And, you know, I've basically become, you know, in the last 4 years, I've taken on a caretaker role. And, you know, part of my journey, you know, food was always so emotional for me, right? So I'm not a binge eater, but I'm an emotional eater. And so I have found myself, you know, consciously with self-awareness and love and compassion for myself, you know, sometimes using food to support myself in that way, right? And, you know, there is weight gain that can come with that. But what's amazing is, you know, especially just from the knowledge that I have now, the most of the time with my body is kindness. It is love. It is respect, right? It's a pendulum, I think, as women, you know, our relationships with our bodies. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, you know, we did an episode with the authors of Body Trust, you know, healthy, and they're very big in the healthy at every size community, but their book Body Trust is a really impactful read for anybody who does maybe struggle with their relationship with their body. And they said something that's really stuck with me, where they said, you know, bodies are supposed to change. Mm-hmm. And that has been really impactful, because, in the last 4 years, I've lost weight, I've gained weight, I've lost weight, right? Like not intentionally, it's just part of that little line right there, which is bodies are supposed to change. Yeah. And I think the more I'm able to lean into that and also, you know, appreciate and respect my body for, you know, I am healthy, you know, and to support myself, to caretake for others, you know, it's just this different level of self-love that continues to unfold and unwrap. And I'm sure, you know, if I'm so fortunate to live, as I said, I'm 35 years old, you know, if I can live another, what, 50, 60 years, I don't know how lucky I am to live to my 80s and 90s, hopefully, you know, my body will probably change too. You know, I'll gain weight, I'll lose weight. And so again, like, I just want to add that in because journeys aren't linear, right? And I think we go through so many different things. And even just in the last 4 years, I think the grit and tenacity that I've developed, I'm a complete, you know, just going through, if anybody has dealt with health issues in their family, it, and I know you have, Allie, too, it changes you from the inside out. And, you know, I finally feel like I'm emerging to a place where I'm able to really, you know, not that I haven't been taking care of myself, but really have the time and, you know, the families are healing and I can focus more on my own needs. And that was just a season of life I've been in. So that's been just, I think, an interesting component, especially because, you know, I think self-love is the through line, but there has been a weight component to my journey. And so just in case, because I know a lot of people, right? It's like, it's been so impactful. Just that one line of bodies are meant to change, right? Your body isn't supposed to stay the same your entire life. And I think there's a lot of freedom in that too.
This episode is brought to you by Mind Happy. We all spend way too much time in front of screens. I know I do. And I find myself craving creative yet restful analog activity. I never thought I would long for the downtime of my childhood in the 90s making friendship bracelets at summer camp. This is why we were so excited when we discovered Mind Happy. Mind Happy is a lifestyle and wellness brand centered on thoughtful creativity to help people craft fulfilling moments, connections, and self-care rituals through purposeful play. Mind Happy provides curated monthly deliveries that promote phone-free activities like knitting, coloring, and crafting. They believe that play is one of the most effective ways to relax and re-energize in our daily lives.
Mind Happy's founder is an ex-Amazon executive who leveraged similar activities to alleviate her own burnout. All the phone-free activities from music box building to coloring are selected based on science, restoring mental clarity, energizing connections, reducing anxiety, and facilitating fulfilling moments. It is curated monthly self-care delivered right to your door. We love that the products from each box are primarily sourced from small women-owned business. For 15% off your first month subscription, go to mindhappy.com. That's mindhappy.com and use code COURAGE15 at checkout.
Yeah. And I find it also, you know, we all went through a collective stress for multiple years. Yes, personal stresses and
collectively,
global collective stress. And that's something that's been really interesting to see the impact of on the body for me. And I just turned 38 and, you know, I'm at a very different place than I was in my early 30s when we started this, and seeing even just in some ways, I feel healthier than ever. And the aging process is really interesting too, as I become closer to 40 in the next sort of like decade. And it feels very different than like having what I was going through when I was approaching 30. But what was interesting was like when I was that age, I was dealing with a height of like medical crisis. Yeah. And from the outside, I might have looked like more fit or more this or more that, but like, you know, it wasn't what was actually my experience. And so now, yeah, I think there's been more ease with the way I treat myself, especially not be performing on stage, like all the, you know, 24/7, but just adjusting into this new sort of age and this new sort of, like phase of life too, and trying to embrace that component. And maybe what we need at certain times, like I didn't need, you know, 29 or 28. I needed 38. Like,
yeah,
I need to prioritize sleep in a different way. And I need to kind of I need to prioritize different things in my life now. And so just like, not only do our bodies change, but like as life and seasons of life change, like the way we take care of ourselves may look different. And that might be different if you have children, and that might be different if you are caretaking elderly parents, or, you know, or have a high career stress or whatever that might be.
Well, it's so, that permission of change, right? Like things are constantly changing. Our needs change, our food needs change, our self-care needs change. And I think I've really learned the importance of flexibility. Like we have to be flexible. You know, it's interesting, just that word ease. I'm having an interesting experience with that word right now, if I can share. You know, it's I realized, you know, through my chanting practice, I was chanting and I was kind of like, I was in a groove, but I was just, you know, I've been in a groove and I was just chanting though. And, you know, everything felt hard. That's how I felt when I was chanting, right? Like this, I was like, why does everything feel so hard right now? And it hit me in the middle of chanting. And I was like, wow, everything feels hard right now because you've decided that things are going to be hard. You've literally decided. Yeah. You keep saying things are hard. You've decided energetically that things are hard. And yes, right? Like I said, we're dealing with family health crisis and issues and the ripple effects that those have. Things are hard, right? On a reality, real perspective. But I realized it was energetically, I had decided things were going to be hard. And so it's been crazy. But just in that moment, when I had that realization, I was like, Erica, what if you decide that things are going to be easy? What if you just decide that things are going to be easy? What if you chant for things just to be easy, right? Just energetically, right?
Yeah.
And so I started chanting for things to be easy. I was, and to be honest, because things have felt more challenging these last few years, I was like, I don't even know what that looks like. So I was even like chanting, like, show me, universe, like show me what ease could look like. And I know this sounds crazy, but that's how things have felt, right? Again, I don't know, you can call it mindset shift. You can call it, right? Like there's, I'm sure, so many different reasons this is, but just that subtle shift in my mindset, that shift in my life condition, that shift in my prayer, that shift in my energy, things have felt easier. And I just, it's been interesting, again, just the way we talk to ourselves. And again, it's not to discount, right? Like there's really real stuff going on, but I've realized, like, energetically, the way I talk to myself, the way I show up, all of that matters so much. And are things appearing hard, or are things appearing, you know, you can't see me because this is a podcast, but quote unquote, easy, right?
Right. Yeah. And it's hard when you also understand that, like, there's so much collective grief and so much collective violence. And, you know, we have just, we're inundated with the devastation that's going on in the world too. And so it's also balancing, I don't know if balancing is the right word, because you can't really balance any of it, but it's also processing where you feel hopeless or helpless, and where you feel like you can help, and where you feel like you can have agency, and navigating all of that. It's like, it's complex. And so this idea of wellness for us is not by any means just like what our favorite green juice is, not that there's anything wrong with green juice. But it's very much, we try to have more nuanced conversations around it all that both account for the individual experience and also a community experience, whether that's on the local or global level, depending on the conversations. So
absolutely.
A little bit about us.
I was going to say though, speaking of favorite green juice, is that a good segue into some rapid fire favorites?
Okay. Let's do it.
Cause I was like, speaking of fate, we're not all about your favorite green juice, but here are some of our favorites. We thought it would be fun to wrap this episode with some personal rapid fire, get to know us better a little bit. So I'm going to read off the questions and we can each answer them. So since okay. I'm reading, you can go first.
Okay.
So just to start, we ask all of our guests this question and we've answered it before in solos, but in this season of our lives, what are a couple daily self-care non-negotiables for you, Allie?
Sleep. Number one. I need to focus on balancing my blood sugar at all meals. That's just like, that is it now. Cause that's how I feel good and have energy throughout the day. I chant every day and that's an important part of my, nurturing sort of like the spiritual side of myself and connecting to myself. And movement, whether it's a long walk with my husband in the morning, which I do many days, or I go to the gym sometimes and I need to move my body. It feels good and it's important, but I'm not rigid on the way that look, how that looks from day to day. So those are my key things right now at this phase of my life. How about you?
Mine are daily baths. I take a bath every single day. Very important for my self-care. Sleep. As you mentioned, reading, need to read. It's such an important part of my self-care toolkit. Chanting practice twice a day, every day, and movement, same. I have to typically, and getting outside, honestly, if I can do movement outside, that's like a double win, but movement, sunlight.
Yeah.
That's kind of everything.
Like yeah. we're like, that's like the, we're house,
house I was like, plants. We're just plants.
Complicated emotions.
Okay, the next question. What makes you smile the most?
Oh.
What came to mind, and again, I have these questions, so I have like a little bit of an advantage with answering them. But when I read this question, I was like, my puppy and my husband.
I was going to say my husband. Yeah.
Yeah. And my little puppy just turned 2 on the 13th of April. So I have a little 2-year-old. Okay, next question. What song, you know this answer for me, but what song or musical artist can you listen to on repeat?
Oh my gosh, lately, this has been like a whole family thing lately. We've been like jamming out to like old Hall & Oates. Rich
I
Girl.
I love Hall & Oates.
I know.
It's
I
so
clean
good.
To Hall & Oates. I love it.
Hall & Oates. You know, it's so funny because I will say to answer that, obviously, you know, I'm going to get to my obvious answer in a second. But when I cook, I'll play like a jazz or like an Ella Fitzgerald playlist. That's like, it's just so nice. So that's how I like to like cook and clean. Unwind. That's like my cooking, cleaning, unwinding music. And though, you know, it's Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, everything. I can't pick a song. Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift. I will say though, just because this episode comes out on Wednesday, and Friday, the new Taylor Swift album comes out, The Tortured Poets Department. And my sister-in-law and I are having a party for 2. We're having the Tortured Poets Department listening party. We're going to be together at 9 p.m. on Thursday the 18th. And we're gonna do like a full Taylor Swift party for 2. And I'm very excited about it. So relevant to this week, but it's Taylor Swift. If I could only listen to one artist for the rest of my life, it would be Taylor Swift. That's my answer. Window or aisle seat?
Aisle, hands down. You?
Aisle, but I prefer window.
Wait, so, okay. Why? That doesn't make sense.
I guess that doesn't make sense. You know, if I choose the aisle seat just because I have no patience and I want to get on and off the plane, but if it's a long flight, it is nice to have the window. It depends to like lean on. It also depends, you know, so I find myself choosing the aisle, even though I like the window seat more. I don't know
Mine
what that
just,
says about my personality. Yeah, no, I will always choose the aisle seat, but I enjoy the comfort of a window seat. Mm-hmm. So, but that's such a Libra answer. I like can't, that's like my air sign. I can't make up my mind. Okay, what is your current or all-time favorite TV show?
Ooh. Probably The Sopranos. It's so good. It's like Change TV. It's so good.
Oh my God. We're so different. I'm like, my answer is I'm like, New Girl and Friends are comfort TV shows for me. Gossip Girl is a comfort TV show for me. But Friends is probably my all-time favorite TV show of all time. I am... Right now, though, I'm finishing Suits, so that's current. Favorite holiday?
I don't know. I think it's now because my anniversary falls this weekend, so it's like always like a nice long weekend. I think it's probably President's Day because it's my
only Allie would have the answer of President's Day.
I'm not a big holiday person.
I am like I love them all: Halloween, Christmas, 4th of July, Thanksgiving.
Definitely not 4th of July. Definitely not Thanksgiving anymore. Definitely not. I guess Halloween's fine, but like I don't care.
And
I know
again,
I'm like a curmudgeon.
I'm taking away to all of the like take away like, you know, the deeper meaning to 4th of July, take away the deeper
like the problematic aspects of Thanksgiving.
I'm saying like romanticize, like think 4th of July is like barbecue summer vibes, you know,
I would
like
say then Christmas, maybe mm-hmm. just like the winter. I love lights and yeah. I love like a fire and cozy yeah. cold winter. Yeah.
For me, it's Thanksgiving. It's the food. It's the food. It's the, you know, the holiday season is approaching and I like the season better than the day. That's why I don't choose Christmas. Christmas Day is anticlimactic. It's all about the season for me. Like, so Christmas season would be my favorite holiday. It's just not a holiday.
Fun fact, sorry for our listeners, if you don't know this, Erica is the most obsessed person with Christmas season I've ever met, and she's a Jewish Buddhist. So
I am. I love
She has
so
her
much.
Tree up. She has a tree, first of all, and she's up before Thanksgiving.
And I have multiple trees. Last year was my first year doing multiple trees. I was like joking with my husband. I was like, when we have a house, it's going to be a tree in every room. I was like, yeah. And he's also Jewish culturally. Yeah. So, and a Buddhist. So, okay. Favorite hobby.
I don't know if it's a hobby because I did it professionally for so many years, but like I'm a musical theater singer mm-hmm. and I guess that's like a hobby still for me.
I love that. Mine would be baking. I do love to bake.
You're a great baker.
And reading. Reading is very important to me. Okay. And I guess we could end with this one, which is pretty, I feel like our longtime listeners know this, but your big three in astrology.
Oh, yeah.
And your human design. Maybe people don't know your human design. I know your human design.
I sometimes forget my human design, so tell me if I'm wrong. But my big three in astrology are easy, and I can remember them because it's all the same. Aries, Aries, Aries. So you're welcome, everybody.
Aries, Aries, Aries. And her human design is, you know.
I am a generator, right? Mm-hmm. Is it 4-6?
Yeah, you're a 4-6 generator. Good job. Okay.
Thank you.
I am a Libra sun, Aquarius moon, Capricorn rising, and I am a 2-5 projector. So that's my, and it's interesting, Allie, because just to end with some astro tea, because I just learned this. So you have no air in your chart.
That doesn't surprise me.
I have no water in my chart, but I just recently learned if you're missing an element, like what it can mean. And you need to sort. So you basically need to be around me all the time because you need my air.
Because you're so airy. Yeah.
And I need to be like, that's probably why I love baths so much, actually. Like I literally need to be submerged in water, but not having an element. So like not having water for me, it can make me, which is very true. I wouldn't say I'm cold. I'm not cold, but I'm much more logical with my emotions, right? Mm-hmm. So emotions for me, I think them, I don't feel them, you know, and feeling them is something I actively work on, you know, and I cry all the time now. So it's lovely, but I used to have a hard time crying. And, you know, that can be a part of not having water, not having air. It's almost like you're too grounded. Mm-hmm. Like your feet are too on earth. So it's like less like dreamy, less impractical, but in the high vibe of being impractical, you know, right. Which is interesting because you are an Aries. So you might have that like spontaneity, but think about, you know, it's like, it's almost too grounded. Like you're too logical. You're too down to earth.
Yeah.
Grounded. So you need that.
It's
kind
like
of
limiting like, sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. So you need that like dreamy airiness, you know,
that's why we complement each other.
And you do, you have a lot of water and earth, or maybe not a lot of water, but you do have earth and you do have water in your chart. So that's why you're only missing air. Mm-hmm. I'm all fire and air. So thank goodness for that Capricorn rising, even though it's a bitch. Cause if you're a Capricorn, you know, it's Saturn ruled, not for the faint of heart. So yeah, I guess that's our get to know us episode.
Yeah. So we have some great episodes coming up for you. So, you know, stay tuned and reach out with any questions. And we love hearing from listeners.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Courageous Wellness. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode featuring a different guest each week.
Subscribe, rate, and write us a nice review. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Courageous Wellness or get in touch via our website, www.courageouswellness.net, where you can also find additional info about our health coaching services, virtual group events, newsletter, and more.
Until next week, I'm Allie.
And I'm Erica, and we're Courageous Wellness.